Holy Father, Thou who art in heaven, we truly magnify Thy name. We truly shout for joy in our souls that we know that we do not have to endure judgment day in hell because of our sins once we have become saved. We realize that all of this is because of Thy love, that Thou so loved us, that Thou hast provided a sin bearer on our behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that He as eternal God went to the cross on our behalf. And oh Father, we don't understand so great salvation, but we know it is true. We know that it has happened because Thy word tells us so, and we trust Thy word. We hang our whole life on that which we find in Thy word. Father, we truly praise Thee for such a great love, and wilt Thou forgive us because we have not been as faithful as we might be in shouting forth to the four winds, to the entire world, this great news that there is an escape from hell through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless us as we continue our study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study of Mark 13, we have come to verse 33, where God declares, where Christ declares, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." And in our last study, we began to look a little bit at this word watch. What does it mean to watch? Does this just apply to those who really realize that possibly we're, or at least they are sensitive to the fact that we're near the end of time, or does this apply to the human race all through time, even though it's very evident that we're not close to the end of time? For example, did this apply to the Jews of Jesus' day? Did it apply to the Reformers? Or does it just apply to those of us who really sense from many angles and directions that we are near the end of time, that we have to be watching for Him to come on the clouds of glory? I think it can be shown from the Word of God that this kind of language, watch, because we don't know the time of His coming, applies to everyone in the human race. In Luke 12, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and in verse 39 He says, "And this know," well, in fact, the whole context is talking about His coming. And remember now, this is not in the context of the end of time as we would find this in Luke 17 or in Luke 21, the discourses on the end of time, the final tribulation period in Judgment Day. It's not in the context of a passage like Matthew 24 or Matthew 25, where Christ is talking about the end of time, or Mark 13 or 1 Thessalonians 4. This is right out in the middle of the gospel presentation, where Christ is simply laying down principles and rules for all believers, whenever they have lived during this world's existence. And He speaks to them in verse 34, "For where your treasure is," this is Luke 12:34, "for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Same word, you see. "Shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. For be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, is Jesus telling everybody to live on this earth as if Christ is going to come on the clouds of glory at any moment? Now, that seems like a good answer, isn't it? That we ought to live in the conscious expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at any moment. But unfortunately, that conclusion, while it has a lot of good possibilities, and certainly seems like a very valid possibility, is contrary to the Bible. Because remember in 2 Thessalonians 2, where God is also talking to us. Remember, the whole Bible is the Word of God. There God says, "Now we beseech you," 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, "we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him." That's the subject now of 2 Thessalonians 2. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." As if the coming is imminent, that it's going to happen at any moment. Why not? "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall be a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." In other words, God is warning us, all of us, beginning with the church at Thessalonica, don't think that Christ's coming is imminent, that it could happen tonight or tomorrow. That you have to live with that idea that he might be here tomorrow, literally be on the clouds of glory. That cannot happen. There are events that have to happen before Christ comes again. And he describes these events. There has to be the falling away. And earlier when we looked at this chapter a little bit, we saw that this really related to the final tribulation period. It must come. And only then, and at that time, when Christ comes on the clouds of glory, the Son of Man will be revealed, and then we'll know that Christ is here. But these events must take place. There's no way, no possibility that Christ could come tonight or tomorrow. A lot of people teach, you know, the imminent return of Christ. Well, it cannot be. There are events that have to take place. Fact is, remember in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13, Matthew 24 particularly, we read that the fig tree had to come in leaf. Then we'd know that summer is nigh. And until the year 1948, the fig tree was not in leaf. That event had to take place. Israel had to become a nation again amongst the nations of the world. Otherwise, the signs of the times did not make possible the coming of the Lord. And so, there's no way that God could be teaching that we are to live really expecting, honestly, in reality, expecting that Christ could return at any moment. And that is the way, we can't live that way today either, because the final tribulation has not begun as yet. And so, we know therefore that when Jesus is saying, "Be ye therefore ready," and that incidentally defines what this word "watch" is all about. Wherever you read this word "watch" in Matthew 24 or in Matthew 25 or in Mark 13 or in Luke 12, and you find it in all of these passages repeated a number of times, you can substitute, if you will, "be ready." Be ready. Be ready for what? Well, now that's the difficulty. people who lived 500 years ago, who were a long ways from seeing the development of signs and wonders all over the world, who were a long ways from seeing the fig tree and leaf, who were a long ways from seeing the falling away. Were they to be ready in case the Son of Man might come in their lifetime? Well, not in the sense of Christ coming on the clouds of glory, but you see that in a real way, every human being, all the way from Adam and Eve right up until the present day, is living just a breath away from the coming of the Son of Man. Not in the literal calendar of time, not in that sense, but in this sense. And let me see if I can explain this so that it makes any sense at all. When a person dies, if he dies unsaved, the next thing that he will know is Judgment Day. He goes to a place of silence, and in his understanding, in his conscious existence, his death, therefore, is effectively at the time of Judgment Day. Let me say that again so that we'll begin to get this. Here is a man who lived 2,000 years ago. Let's say Judas. Let's take Judas for an example, although you could take anyone. You could take Caiaphas, the high priest, any unsaved man. When any of these individuals died, in time it was 2,000 years before the coming of Christ, approximately. But insofar as they are concerned, it is right at the coming of Christ, because they live along until the day they die with conscious existence, and the next thing they know in their minds, insofar as reality for them is concerned, is the resurrection of the last day. The hour cometh when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of damnation. Insofar as they are concerned, the moment of their death is the moment of Judgment Day. No, they're not judged at the moment of their death, insofar as the calendar is concerned, but insofar as they have conscious existence is concerned, the next event they will know is Judgment Day as it occurs at the end of time. Now, no man knows when they are going to be taken in death. No one knows. Oh, a suicide could say, well, I decided. I made the decision when it was. Well, yes, but a day before the man committed suicide, he didn't know what the precise timetable was, and he didn't know whether he was going to go through with that. He didn't actually know he was going through with it until it actually happened, and because God could have restrained him in 100 different ways. God could have got a friend over there to counsel with him. God could have simply laid it upon his heart that he shouldn't pursue this crazy scheme. There are a lot of things that could have happened. But at the moment that he committed suicide, or at the moment that any person dies, it's at that moment in time that, insofar as God is concerned, God has decreed, your timetable is up. Your life expectancy has ended. You must be ready to face the judgment throne. Now, can you see why we find this kind of a statement in Luke 12? In Luke 12, where Christ is not talking about the end of time at all. He's not talking about the final tribulation period or any of these other events, but right in the context of speaking to all believers, he is saying, watch, because you don't know the time when the Lord cometh, when Christ cometh. And this is true of every human being that has walked the face of the earth. There is no one who knows the time of our death. No one does. This is in God's hand. And we have no assurance that we're going to live out the night and go on to tomorrow. And so that is why Christ says again and again, watch, watch. And let me substitute that phrase, be ready, be ready. I've said this many, many times, and I really want to underscore it today. If you are unsaved, and you are enjoying your life as an unsaved person, because you think you have freedom to do what you want to do, you're not bound to go to church, you're not bound to live by this rule of the Bible, or that rule of the Bible, you can do your thing. Well, fine, you're enjoying the pleasures of this world for a season, but you don't know how long that season is. It might be for 5 minutes more, it might be for 5 hours more, 5 days more, or 5 years more, or 50 years more. You don't know, because you have no control over the day of your death. But think of what you are trading for that 5 minutes of the pursuit of pleasure, or those 5 hours, or 5 months, or 5 years, or 50 years. Think of what you are trading for that. If you die, that is, if the Lord takes you, which is equivalent to the coming of the Lord in your life, then you are going to spend eternity under damnation for that, for your sins. Now that's a pretty rough bargain, isn't it? That's pretty rough. And don't hide under the idea that everybody else is unsaved and your lot won't be any different than theirs. If you, for example, are dying in a concentration camp under very difficult conditions so that you're beaten regularly and so on, there's very little comfort in the fact to know that in the fact that there are 1,000 others in the same concentration camp receiving the same treatment. That doesn't change your situation at all. That doesn't get you out. That doesn't save your life. There's no comfort in the fact that there are going to be many others also in hell. But what an enormous price you are paying for the pursuit of pleasure, what you think is freedom, for that little season that you still have. Now the risk you're taking is that perhaps you're saying, well, yes, I know I'm unsaved. I have to admit, I haven't made my peace with God, but I'm young. At least I'm not as old as a lot of others, and I come from a fairly long-lived family, and my heart is good, and I take reasonably good care of myself, and therefore, maybe next year, maybe when I get married, maybe when our children are grown, maybe when I retire, maybe this, maybe then, that, then I will make my peace with God. But now I'm going to sow my wild oats, I'm going to enjoy life to the fullest. My, talk about Russian roulette. Talk about putting a loaded gun at your head and spinning the cylinder and hoping that as you pull the trigger you're not getting the bullet, the chamber with the bullet in it, so you're going to be killed by that gun. That's nothing compared to the risk that you're taking. Because what assurance have you that you're going to live tomorrow? All kinds of people die in all kinds of disasters and for all kinds of reasons. Healthy people die just as readily as sick people. And sick people, and a healthy person sometimes can get an illness and seemingly it's a very minor illness and yet they die almost instantaneously. And remember that if you die without salvation, without having made your peace with God, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Oh my, I couldn't sleep with that hanging over my head. I'd become a nervous wreck thinking about it. And this is what you ought to become if you're unsaved. You ought to be crying out, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, I don't want to go to hell. All right, I've enjoyed this world and the freedom I had and so on, but my the cost is enormous. I didn't realize what it was costing me. The danger of eternal damnation, and that could come at any moment, because if I die, then the next thing I'll know is the judgment throne. I'll wake up on the last day again to have conscious existence, and it'll be the judgment day. Remember what Christ warned in Luke 12, verse 40? "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." When ye think not. All kinds of unsaved people go through life, and I could weep over this. I could cry for them. They delude themselves by thinking that they're the master of their fate. They're the captain of their soul. They'll make the decision when it's getting close to the time, and they better become right with God. There are people in the church and people out of the church that are thinking this. And God says, no, that isn't the way it is at all. It isn't that way at all. When Christ comes for you, it's going to be at a time ye think not. Well, suppose that I am starting to get very ill. Isn't that going to give me time enough to get my house in order, my spiritual house in order, and get right with God? Let me tell you something. It's very infrequent. Oh, yes, it does happen, but it's nothing to be counted upon that there's a deathbed conversion. Most people are so busy with their illness, with their suffering, with their trauma they're going through, with their pills and their pain and all the other things they're going through, they don't have time to think about salvation any more than they had time to think about salvation when they were healthy and well. The Bible is teaching us, be ready. Be ready. Make sure of your calling and election is indicated in another part of the Bible. Be ready. Christ is coming at an hour you think not. And you don't know when He's coming for you. And I don't care whether I was talking to people who were 1,000 years from the last day or whether we were living right within a few years of the last day. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Remember when we went through the final tribulation period study, we discovered that is too late. That is too late. You see, you could still even have conscious existence on this earth, and it could be too late if it happens to be that we're an end-time generation. And that only doubles the warning, because I believe we are an end-time generation. And there are many people who are healthy and well and think, well, there's still events that have to take place. I'm sure Christ is not coming as yet, and we're going to slip into the final tribulation period, and they won't even realize it, and it's too late. Too late for salvation. Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing we're talking about. But, beloved, Don't you realize that Christ is giving us this warning so that we will be ready, so that we will cry out for help to God? This is why we have the gospel of salvation. This is why Christ went to the cross, in order that we might be saved. And so it isn't too late. It is still a day of salvation. Right today, right, you can begin to pray. And notice it says in Mark 13, verse 33, watch and pray. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Because our salvation doesn't come from our fellow man. Our salvation doesn't come from our personal ingenuity or our personal genius. Our salvation doesn't come from our minds or what our hands can make or do. Our salvation comes from God. He is the giver of our salvation. And we pray to God, oh God, have mercy on me. Be ready and pray. Pray to God that all is well in your soul, that you are ready to meet your Maker, because you don't know the time of His coming. That's the message of Mark 13, verse 33. That's the message of Luke 12, verse 40. Be ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Oh my, this is a warning that I want you to hear. I want you to hear it, and I wish I could drive this in your soul like a sword, so that you'd have no rest. And I would pray the Lord you have no rest till you find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if I love you and want anything at all for you, it is that you might be saved, if indeed you are not yet saved. Well, praise God, many are saved, but I'm speaking today.